Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Play to pod.
We're looking into our registration for a reception class and a year one class, hopefully this year, but possibly next school year, depending on our registration process, which sometimes takes a little while. But we're doing some exciting things here in London. And if you're ever in the area and you want to come and see us, just give us a shout and we'd love to host you. When your child has a developmental delay or they are identified as being neurodiverse, they may have sensory issues or problems with their sensory systems. And there's a lot of information out there on the sensory side of things. When you Google this, some of it is good and some of it's not, and some of it's just really, really overwhelming. So what we want to do in this episode is make a little bit of sense of that for you, because there's so much out there that can be really confusing. And at Play to Talk, our first focus is on identifying and using children's sensory interests and differences as a way to capture and use their biggest motivations to teach communication and other skills. And we talked in the last episode around play being unique to individual children. And quite often with children that we're working with, their sensory preferences are a big motivation for the way that they play and interact with toys and other activities and equipment. And that there isn't a typical way to play. There isn't a proper way to play. So that's where the sensory side of things comes in. In looking at trying to make sense of children's sensory preferences and their things that they don't like, we attempt to make the sensory side of things a little less complicated while still acknowledging the complexity of each individual's neurological needs. If you think about sensory processing as a need for balance and regulation, we're thinking about how our body is working with our brain and how we are experiencing the environment and how we find different sensory inputs regulating or too arousing. We need that balance. We're recognizing that some children might need to have a different level of input in each area in order to support that balance. Traditionally, there's always been a bit of a focus on calling behaviors that we observe sensory behaviors, or referring to the child as being sensory. But in reality, this doesn't explain and break down these behaviors into something meaningful. So back to the idea of balance. If you think about us processing the world around us through our sensory systems, we have seven of these, and they need to work together to help us feel regulated and balanced. For neurotypical individuals, our visual system interacts with our auditory and our tactile alongside our proprioception, which tells us where our body is in space, and our vestibular system, which informs our balance. They all interact with our olfactory and gustatory senses, smell and taste, and when everything works together, this is how we process the world around us. When young children have delays in their development, they often have differences in their neurological profiles, and their sensory systems don't always work together as effectively as they should. This can result in both what we would call sensory seeking behaviours and sensory avoidant behaviours across different domains, and this can be referred to as sensory processing disorder. When first assessing children in Play to Talk, we ask parents to observe their child's preferences and dislikes in order to see what sensory input they may be seeking and what they might be avoiding. This is really powerful information for supporting parents and carers to capture their child's attention and build motivating shared play routines, as we discussed in episode one. Often the things that children are seeking out can be used really effectively to support play, social engagement, learning, communication. And the things that they dislike can then be avoided. So rather than having an unhappy and dysregulated little one, it becomes a far happier play experience for everybody. Parents become the expert in their child's sensory interests and can build shared play routines around these. So we've seen some children over the years that really don't like singing, and they don't like lap games where we bounce them and we sing. And it might be that they have different sensory processing needs there, so they may not like the auditory input too much. And if you're going to a toddler group or a parent and toddler group, you're told to interact, play with your child and sing with them. If your child just doesn't enjoy singing, then actually that's a negative experience for them. Or if they don't like to be bounced up and down on your knee because they have some proprioceptive differences, then, or vestibular differences, and then that might actually affect their engagement with their caregiver because they find that quite aversive. So it's making sure that we are looking at each individual's preference and the things that they don't like, and trying to build a profile around that and a profile of activities and individual play routines that we can do with a child that won't be upsetting for them and actually would be really motivating for them. So if children are showing auditory sensitivities, then we would hold out on the nursery rhymes for a little while. We can always work on that as time goes on, but initially we want to make sure the child is happy, motivated, excited and engaged, and we really want to focus on the things that they enjoy. So the sensory side of things doesn't have to be overcomplicated. If you observe your child, see what is they're seeking out or spending a lot of time doing. Like, a lot of children like visual input. We talked about that in our previous episode as well. You can build your play around this particular sensory input. So looking at the toys and games that would give your child that feedback. The same with children that like movement. So you could look at proprioceptive seeking behaviours would be movement seeking behaviours. Looking at where your body is in space, needing that extra feedback to work out how your body is moving and feeling around the environment around them. And that could be something you could use with your child to help them to engage with you if you built some physical play routines with them. Remember, it's all about balance, and once you start providing your child with the input they are looking for, they're going to be happier, easier to engage and more ready to learn. But most of all, it's about having fun, so seek out those smiles and look for that laughter. We're going to go into a bit more detail on the sensory systems in just one second.
As an adult with ADHD, I have my own sensory processing difficulties and find it difficult to focus and sometimes to concentrate. If you're like me, even when you're doing your best to concentrate on things like podcast editing, funding applications, reports, you're not always 100% focused and you're not always getting everything done as quickly and as efficiently as you need to. But luckily, I found a perfect solution. I started drinking these green shots called Magic Mind in the mornings, and I really love them. They help me so much by getting me in the right state of mind for a really productive day. I usually drink them on the train on the way to work, and I feel way better in the mornings and happier throughout the day thanks to the adaptogens that boost your mood and help you relax. One of the ingredients it contains are lion's mane mushrooms, which are a nootropic and adaptogen. They reduce anxiety and inflammation whilst also supporting cognition by preventing neural degeneration and stimulating neural regeneration. Seeing how well it works for me, I'd really encourage you to try it out as well if you're having trouble being 100% in some days. It's a total game changer. I totally recommend you go check them out at magicmind.com/playtopod and join a community of go-getters. You can use my discount code, DrRuth20, or capital letters, to get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase.
So, talking about regulation or regulatory function, it's a set of processes that modulate an individual's response or reaction to a change in their environment. So that's obviously related to our sensory processing. With babies, for instance, who've been identified as having possible red flags for autism, regulatory function is often something that parents report to be unusual or different. So the way that babies can become dysregulated really quickly over a really small thing that another maybe more typical child would not. So auditory input, tactile input, visual input, this can all be things that babies who are showing red flags for autism can maybe find difficult to process. In the first year of a child's life, for example, this regulatory function is partially linked to the actions of a caregiver. In typically developing infants, this would be shown by the child's ability to regulate when offered a distraction by the adult and or a soothing cuddle. This is called co-regulation. So if a stranger comes into the room and a baby's sitting with their parent, then they would look to their parent to check in how are they reacting to this different person coming into the room. If the parent is fine, then the baby is fine. So that's a good example of co-regulation in typically developing infants. If a baby is startled, they would always look to their caregiver for that reassurance, and that regulation would happen with the parent. Often with babies and young toddlers who are showing red flags for autism, the capacity to regulate is going to be atypical. This might mean that children choose to self-soothe with unusual motor movements, for instance, or focus on repetitive play activities that might provide a specific sensory input. It might also mean that children are difficult to calm with cuddles or emotional support from caregivers, or they maybe find a certain sensory input aversive and upsetting, more so than a typically developing child would. So when we're thinking about this, we need to go into a little bit more detail on understanding the sensory system. So I hope you've got your notebooks out, people, but we will put a little PDF onto our website under our podcast page for people to look at this in a little bit more detail with their child at home, because it's actually very useful to do that from an individual perspective rather than listening to the kind of more general information. So many young children who are presenting with early red flags for autism, social communication difficulties, or sensory processing issues show signs of these different reactions to sensory input that we wouldn't maybe expect. It is really important for parents and carers to understand the sensory system as a whole, not just that this is a sensory behaviour that makes no sense at all. So we need to stop using that phrase. It's looking at which sensory input that child is reacting to. And then you can start to look at the ways in which your child might be processing information differently. And that can really support you to learn how to best engage your child, as we spoke about in episode one. It's also a critical factor in assessing motivation, which comes along later when we talk about this in another episode in more detail with Karen Levine. We have seven sensory systems that all have to work in harmony to support our bodies to function on a daily basis. The balance between this input, these systems, and our body and brain is crucial for us to learn how to process the environment around us. So the first system we're going to talk about is vestibular. This regulates our sense of motion and balance. It's located in the middle ear and activates any time we move our head. It's also activated constantly by the pull of gravity. It impacts on our ability to feel balanced when our body is in different positions. The second system that we're going to discuss is proprioception. Our proprioceptive system lets our body know just where it is in space. Signals are sent from our muscles and joints and help us understand how much force we need to use to complete a task, how much force we need to sit down, how much force we need to keep ourselves grounded on the floor when we're standing or walking. Third system is tactile. This is our sense of touch, and it's activated through receptors in our skin and our mouth. It helps us know when we have touched something and also to discriminate between what we are touching, whether it's hot, cold, rough, smooth, bumpy, whatever kind of texture. That helps us understand what that texture feels like. The fourth system is auditory. This is our ability to hear, but it's also our ability to discriminate between sounds. Our auditory system enables us to process auditory input and differentiate between the sound we need to listen to and the ones we need to tune out, which can be really tricky for some children with sensory processing difficulties. I myself have ADHD, I'm neurodivergent, and I have sensory processing difficulties around auditory input. I find it really difficult, for instance, in a hairdresser, if the hairdresser is trying to have a conversation with me and there's background noise. I can also find it quite distracting if there's a fridge in a room or a light buzzing. So I understand that one from a personal perspective for sure. Auditory system is often seen as a key survival system, as it helps us process where sounds are coming from and what they mean, so we can decide our reaction to them. If it's a dangerous noise, if it's a happy noise, we can decide what we want to do about that when we hear and process those sounds. The fifth system is visual. This system is more than just being able to see. It helps us process visual stimulus, scan our environment for objects or people, and discriminate distance and depth. So a lot of the children that we see have really big interest in the visual side of things. They really, really crave that visual input with toys, with games, with activities, also with self-stimulatory behavior. Sometimes we see children who maybe have motor movements like spinning or flapping, which can be visual, it also can be vestibular, it also can be proprioceptive. So that's a behaviour, as we call it, that could go across three different sensory systems. But more often than not, with the flapping hands, it can be a visual behaviour. System six and seven are, I can never say these properly, olfactory and gustatory. These are our senses of smell and taste. That's the easier way to say it. Again, they help us process smell and taste, but also discriminate and differentiate between things we like and things we don't. The olfactory system is the only sense that's directly linked to the part of the brain that processes emotional memories, interestingly. So if you have a child who's had a bad experience with eating a specific food, they may then have an aversion to that food for a little bit longer than they may have an aversion to something else, because they've had an emotional response with that too. In typically developing children and adults, all of these seven systems work together to help us process the world around us effectively. It helps us to stay regulated and either alert or calm depending on the response to the stimulus. With very young children showing red flags for developmental difficulties, the sensory systems are often not integrating effectively. This can cause sensory processing difficulties, which in turn impact considerably on a child's ability to engage, attend, and regulate their emotional responses. This can make the world a bit of a confusing place and sometimes a little bit scary. And it's important to use key individual observations to try and work out and assess what sensory inputs might be difficult or aversive to your child in particular. We would then advise that you avoid the things that are a little bit tricky for the time being wherever possible. This is particularly important when you're trying to engage your child in those positive social interactions like we discussed earlier around the auditory side of things. If they don't like nursery rhymes, don't sing to them. It's fine. That's just something that's individual to your child right now. They'll get used to that as time goes on, but it maybe isn't something that from a sensory perspective is going to help your child engage with you because they may find it aversive. To turn it on its head though, recognising sensory processing differences can support caregivers to engage better with the child. As we spoke about in episode 1, if we assess sensory preferences alongside sensory sensitivity, we can then build a much clearer picture of effective ways to motivate and engage your child. Motivation is key, and although motivation might be slightly different from what you might expect, we can use this to support social and communication development across the board. Remember, everyone has unique likes and dislikes when it comes to sensory preferences.
Although over the years we found that a lot of children don't always like auditory input when we sing at them, we have found that many, many of our children really enjoy music and singing, and we're very excited that we are going to be sharing with you on this podcast our first ever Christmas song. So I'll hand over to Katie, who's going to tell you a little bit more about it, and I hope you enjoy it. It can be downloaded on our nursery website at www.playtotalknursery.co.uk/shop, and it should be available on iTunes and other good download sites very soon.
Hello, my name is Katie and I'm 14 years old. When I was here too, I worked with Dr. Ruth in the Scotland Blue Sky Centre, and one of the things I always loved was music and singing. This year, we have recorded a special Christmas song with me singing the lead vocals and some other little Play to Talk children helping me. I hope you enjoy it!
Bye!
Children playing, having fun. It's the season, love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone. Time for parties and celebrations. People dancing all night long. Time for presents.
Happy Christmas!
Never. Never.